This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, what it do?
Oi.
What's up?
Welcome back, you gray son of a bitch.
Thank you. It's white.
Oh, that's true. Well, there's some gray mixed in there.
I don't know why they call it gray. It's not gray. It's white.
Well, you do have gray.
But it's white.
Well, no, there's some gray, there's some white.
Really?
Yeah.
I've always thought of it as white.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Because I'm a white man.
Well, I guess there's shades if you're in there. Or are you saying that it's not really gray?
It's all white.
It's all white?
I feel like it's all white now. Yeah. I look like Santa Claus.
I always thought maybe a Brett Favre minus the $17 million fraud. Like, I don't really get a Santa vibe off of you. I think like Gordon Fisherman.
Well, I used to be a little salt and peppery, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not anymore. It's just all white.
Yeah, it's a lot of white.
I'm just an old man.
But you got the mustache and there's some, you know...
Yeah, it's a little dark in there.
It's a little dark
in there.
But
that's not gray.
No. No. Well, I don't have any gray. Mine's white, but I've only gone white on one side. My kids informed me that I don't know what it is, but I'm only gray on one side. So apparently I'm aging in halves.
Yeah, I see it on both sides.
Yeah, but it's
more prominent
on your
right side.
It's more prominent on the one. So.
Now, I noticed, we were just talking to him because our boss was in here. Yeah. What's his name?
The little general or the big general?
No, not the little general.
That damn Dusty Hara.
Oh, Hara, yeah. He was on TV yesterday. He won't shut up. I'm tired of his ass already.
He was on TV.
Yeah, did you see him?
Trying to make it about himself.
Was that yesterday?
I don't know.
When did Oregon play?
No, that was not.
When was that? Was that yesterday?
You see, I'll tell you what. I'm still in this weird mode where all the days mush together. Yes, that was
yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, no, that wasn't it. Because there were so many football games and it was so early, I'm under the impression that game was like 3 days ago. No, that was yesterday morning.
It feels like a long time ago.
Yeah, but it was not.
It was not.
9 a.m.
And when Oregon won,
yes,
our friend Dan Lanning was being interviewed on the field, you know, because he was the champion coach.
Friend of the program.
And guess who was interviewing him? Mm. Did you see this?
I did not.
You did stick around for that?
No, I didn't stick around
for that. Yeah, it was Dusty Hara.
Oh. Now, was this on the national broadcast?
Well, yeah. So he does the ESPN thing.
Yeah.
With the gal.
Yeah.
I forget who.
And I don't think, on the SEC one, I think it was Laura Rutledge, but she wasn't there at the Orange Bowl. She can't be two places at once. So I don't know who was there.
Yeah, I don't remember.
But they always have some lady down there and, you know.
But
like,
sometimes you see it if you catch it. Like, we're in the business.
Yeah.
So I like to watch for things like this. Mm-hmm. But some people may not care, but when the coach does his halftime interview with his first obligation, which is usually the major TV network,
yes,
he then goes to his secondary obligation, which is usually the hometown radio.
Yeah.
And that's us.
That would be us.
And Dusty Hara
was
live the sideline.
Yeah.
He's the sideline guy, so he does those interviews. Mm. And on TV, on ESPN, it captured Dan Lanning going from the hot over to the twink.
Over to our hot.
But
does that say something about us that our hot is the fan twink?
Yeah,
like,
except,
you know,
I don't know. I think the fan twink is now lowercase, unfortunately. Sorry, lowercase.
Oh, that's kind of true.
Because Dusty's old. Because what I'm getting at is Dusty, first of all, he's now in management.
Yeah.
So,
you know. When he's 40.
And
he's a man.
My wife goes, "Is that Dusty?" I'm like, "Yeah, that's Dusty. Look at him." Mm. And it got a very awkward shot of Dusty because it was... Dusty was not performing for a camera. He was just doing his radio job. Yeah. And they caught him. They were right up on his left ear.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were looking down his ear canal.
Laser focus.
What is an ear canal called?
I think it's the ear canal.
Okay. I thought there was like a name for it.
Well, you have your eardrum in there, but I believe it's just the ear canal.
Oh. He was looking down his labia. I don't know.
Wow.
What?
Whoa.
Just making sure Steven's paying attention over there. Ladies and gentlemen, new producer,
hey!
Steven Vaughn.
What is going on?
Call him Steven. He loves
it.
Wait, I can't hear Steven. Are you talking?
What? No. Sorry.
How can I hear him? Can you hear him?
I'm talking now.
It's light, but I hear him.
Maybe I'll shut off my... okay.
Hello.
Mary.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
We have a new bald guy on the show.
I know. Shockingly enough, a new bald white guy, because there's not enough of those in media.
So,
or Portland.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah. 2026 brings us a new producer, Stephen Vaughn, whom I think you've already introduced.
Yes.
On the
we had a whole thing.
We had a whole first date. We did learn about me.
We did a get to know you. We asked 10 questions. Oh, it was a whole thing. Yeah, okay. We found out.
What did we learn? Give me the, I mean, just
well,
like,
do you want him to give it to you? Or
no, I want you, because I want to know what you took away from it.
Okay, well, he's a Milwaukee kid through and through. Full on Milwaukee.
Milwaukee Brewers?
No,
Milwaukee, Oregon. Come on
now. Yeah. You know who's a resident of Milwaukee, Oregon now? The great Jack and Sherry Ropp.
Oh,
of Salina, Kansas.
Well, they could be neighbors.
They are now
Milwaukeeans. I believe it's called Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so you grew up in Milwaukee.
Yeah, grew up there. Still,
by the
way,
I'm going to finish my Dusty story in a second. But
by the way, it is an ear canal officially. There is no.
It is.
It's just an ear.
I thought that was like a
formal. It's just
okay.
I looked up the diagram. Well, it's the ear canal.
When I said the L word, got Steven to perk up over there.
Well, made everyone a little uncomfortable.
Well, that's what we do here.
Well, you missed it the other day that lowercase dropped a T. He was talking about a Sydney Sweeney movie, and nonchalantly he just drops one of these. He goes, "Oh yeah, the first hour is great. It's just her."
And
drop the T's.
Yeah.
Except he said the whole thing, and I like there was no dump, no nothing. We were all just sitting there, and lowercase was like, "What?"
I don't think lowercase knows how to dump anything.
I don't think so. It was adorable,
and I'm pretty sure Steven doesn't yet either. So.
I think I could do it.
Okay,
you want to practice? Let's try it.
Okay,
it's a work in progress.
So anyway, okay, what did you take away?
So he's he's a Milwaukee guy, local through and through.
Okay,
he's had very let's say an extensive range of jobs, but has settled in the media world. Okay. He's a big Blazer guy. He's a hoops guy. Okay. Played basketball at Concordia.
Tall guy, yeah.
Yeah, back when he had hair. Yeah. We have determined that if the Fan had a basketball team, Steven would dominate.
I'd win, for sure.
He'd win. Yeah. He does not want to be called Stevie.
Okay.
I was like Stevie Vaughn. And he's like, yeah, no. That's not about it.
Which I knew 100% meant it's going to happen all the time.
I now just want to call him Little Stevie.
Yeah, see, he already gets the bit. He knows that if you say you don't want something, it's not me.
Yeah. No.
But I'm pointing at the guy.
It's for the content. It's all content. Sure,
yeah.
He's an OG. We're into the hippity hop.
Oh, okay.
He's about that world. That life.
Yeah, you look pretty street.
Thank you. Yeah, Milwaukee, baby. Yeah. Mean streets.
Straight Milwaukee.
Okay.
And it was pretty cool when I asked, I said, if you had like a bucket list, if you do one thing, and he went with take his kid to the Blazers championship parade, which I thought was pretty solid.
Which I also added will never happen because the Blazers suck and they'll never win. So
How old's your kid?
I got two. I got two. He's 11 and he's really into the Blazers now. And then I have a younger one. He just turned 7.
Okay.
Oh, we also found out this may be a bigger gambler degenerate than you are.
Is that right?
That's true, man.
When I asked him, because I had I wanted to get to know.
We shall bond.
Little Stevie. And so I was like, hey, let's, I got a nice little cultivated list of questions. And I did the, give me the perfect day. Don't give me something horse crap about your kids and wife. If Steven has a day to kill, what is he doing? And you know what he threw out there?
Casino. Hell yeah.
Casino, little sports book.
That's right.
And I was like, all right.
Yeah,
couple drinks.
Yeah.
Little craps, little blackjack.
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah.
You are a man after my own
heart. And so I was like, well, there you go. I'm like, you're going to fit in just fine.
Well, welcome, Steven. It's nice to have you. And lowercase, trained by lowercase, which is, how wild is that?
Well, and that was the other thing I pointed out, because
what the hell is happening?
You were gone out last week, so it was me, and it was lowercase, and then Steven was shadowing, and I did point out on the air, I was like, you're literally shadowing someone that has no idea what he's doing.
I think you're shadowing someone who is shadowing.
The slander will not be tolerated, folks.
Well, I mean, look, it's a little odd. You're like 17 years old.
He was terrified to hit any hotkey. And it just at least 3 to 4 times a show, I would look over there. And lowercase had that look of fear. It was like that in a movie where you get ready to cut the bomb, blue wire, red wire. That's lowercase getting ready to hit any button. He's like, we're going to try this one.
That club that I was on, Sook, he did mess up at least twice.
Yes. And so we were sitting there and I was like, how on earth is Steven shadowing lowercase? I'm like, let's do this.
There's really no one else to shadow.
It was kind of fun. It was the learning game forever.
Who else is going to teach him?
I guess that's the show, you know?
Well, the best part is now if Steven screws up, he can just do that. I'm just doing what I was taught.
That's what Casey taught me. You know, I can't help it. I can't help myself.
Just in there mashing buttons.
God.
You should have been here, though, for the new Sydney Sweeney movie. It's great. The first hour is just a...
Well, that means lowercase is already pretty comfortable on the air.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, he shook off the nerves.
Yeah. Although he's got a Steelers hoodie and a Yankees hat on. Which,
yeah, we talked about that.
Bro, that's...
Yeah, we, well, it's, you know...
Anyway, so I was watching Dan Lanning go from the hot over to Dusty, and the camera was right in Dusty's left...
Ear canal. Yeah.
And you could see all the gray hair. So my comment...
Oh, he had the ear hair.
Well, not the ear hair. Oh. He had the gray hair in his beard.
Oh, okay.
He has since, I just saw him a little bit ago, he has since shaved it down.
You think someone pointed it out?
Well, I'm sure they did.
Yeah.
Like, well, I certainly did.
They're like, hey, man, look a little rough there on TV. That camera will, you know.
Well, look, he's
an
not.
An HD camera.
He's not young.
No. Well, he's 40
None
now.
Of us are
He's
young.
A man. He's 40.
We have no young guys here except for lowercase.
Who's like 12. We don't know. It's, I don't know how old Casey is, but he looks like he's 12.
So.
He said 24.
Yeah, he's 24. So my wife, he's younger than my kid.
Yeah.
So my wife goes, is that Dusty? I'm like, yeah. Look at Dusty. And she goes, yeah, he's getting gray. I'm like, ooh. Mm. So we saw his, because the camera just showed the left side of his face, much like yours, where your gray is coming. Gray always comes in on the cheeks, on the beard.
The mutton chops.
Or the white, I mean, the white.
Yeah.
And Dusty has some of that now. Yeah. So I just wanted to report that to the people so you guys know.
Happens to the best of us, man.
Yep.
We're all getting old.
The whole point there is that he is no longer the fan twink. You can't be the fan twink and have white hair.
No, we've moved on to lowercase.
Lowercase is the new fan twink.
Dusty has moved on. Is he the DILF? Is he the fan DILF?
Yeah.
Is that
I think
where
that's right?
That's where we've gone with this?
That's right.
Yeah.
You and I are.
We're
GILF.
Yeah, we're just old at that point. I don't know. We're just like, have you ever seen like The Lighthouse?
Oh,
we've just moved on to old fishermen. Like, if you put us in a watch cap and like a cable knit sweater, at that point, you and me are just running a lighthouse somewhere in Maine, just pulling on some lobster. I think that's where we've officially gone.
All right. Well, it's good to be back, sort of.
Yeah. I understand.
But it's only a day.
Yeah, you got a one-day work week.
Yeah, and then I got, oof.
I had to work all week. I had to do a post-game or a pre-game show, for God's sakes.
For what?
For the Orange Bowl.
Really?
Yeah, I had to work on New Year's Eve.
Yesterday? Or wait, Thursday? Wait,
Tuesday? You're doing great.
What was?
Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. The fan DILF over there is putting together special pregame shows, made me work on New Year's.
Oh, my
Man's
God.
Man's a slave driver.
Bro. That wouldn't have flown with me.
No. There's a reason why I don't think you were invited for that one. Yeah.
Yeah, hey, you want to come in? Nope.
Nope.
Let's all be surprised when I don't show up.
That's one of those. Why don't you pick a time that I'm supposed to be here, not tell me, and then we'll both be surprised when that time comes and goes and I'm not there.
Well, it's exciting times. We got a new year. We're back. Mm-hmm. We're back together. We got a new producer, Steven, here. It's a whole new, it's just everything's new.
Yeah.
Except for me.
Except for us.
And you.
And me, yeah.
Still here.
Still here. After so, all these years. Another one.
We're going to do another year.
Yeah.
Oregon won. I did see that.
Yes.
And they won 23-0.
Yeah.
That's what I'm told.
That was the least surprising game of them. I know some people were trying to make that out to be like this was going to be some battle, but I just...
Well, I mean, the point spread was close.
I never bought into Texas Tech's offense. That game went as about the way I thought it would go. I just thought Texas Tech would score some points. They didn't score a point.
They didn't really even come close.
They got down in the red zone the one time and then proceeded to throw one of the worst interceptions you'll ever see. Texas Tech's offense and defense were both Denny Green. They were exactly what we thought they were. And
how many first downs did they get?
I don't know. I'd have to go back and look that up. Not for a while. I mean, they didn't have one for a while. It was bad. And if you take out the one long run on the missed tackle... On the Betcher one where the guy went whatever 55 yards. Dude, they had like, I want to say they had like 26 yards through three quarters. It was brutal.
Well, would you like to talk about it?
Yeah, we can get into it.
I think we should talk. Yeah, yeah. I think we should.
Because as much as I was dead on that one.
Oh, they had 10 first downs.
They had 10 first downs. Most of those came later. As spot on as I was with that one, I couldn't have been more off in the two. I was pretty confident that the two best teams, and this is why I thought it broke well for Oregon, I thought the two best teams in the tournament by far were on the other side, and neither one of them is playing right now. So
they're both gone.
Yeah, they're both gone. So those were the two that I was like,
you don't know anything.
What? No.
Let's
no,
talk
I
about
don't.
It. All right, we'll start with college football playoff talk. The Ducks win. We'll get into it. Coming up next, you're on The Fan. Yes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Steven on the ones and twos over
off to a rousing start.
Did I do it right? Did I do it good?
That was great. I loved every minute of it. Every second of it. I like the primetime promos during primetime. I think that's great. I blame that on the little general.
There you go.
He hadn't sold a thing in 3 weeks.
No one's done anything in 3 weeks.
Just play it, bro. Well, I tell you, is everyone back at work? Because I feel it feels very holiday-y still.
No, I think the rest of the company is still technically on vacation.
Well, I just mean the world. Not the world, but the U.S. Like, are people...
No, I think Monday probably starts.
Yeah, I think people took Friday off.
This is still kind of one of those general... Like, my gal had to go back to work today. She's working from home, and let me tell you, that was...
Not much is getting done.
Yeah, it's... We're eating like an old man going into a bath. There is going to be a slow lean in here. And then somewhere around, I'm guessing next Wednesday or Thursday, real commerce will start again in the world.
Yeah. All right. Well, Ducks won. You heard it here.
Yep.
On the fan, at least I think we played it.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. I know it for a fact.
They did dominate Texas Tech.
Mm-hmm.
A very workmanlike effort, I thought.
Yeah.
From the Ducks.
It's not going to win any beauty contests.
No.
But
doesn't matter.
No. Well, and you are a big believer of saying this. Two things can be true at the same time, right? You can have a dominant defensive effort, and that's certainly what Oregon had, and you can have really crappy offense. Like, I don't think Oregon was dominated, too, by Texas Tech's front seven, but I don't think Oregon played necessarily bad football. I think they ran into a really good front that kind of put the kibosh on what you were doing. I think Texas Tech was equal parts. Oregon's defense is good. In fact, I'll go a step further. Like, if Oregon's going to win a national championship, and there is a real chance they win a national championship, when you look at the talent profiles of the four teams left, Oregon is by far the most talented team. If they win a national championship, it's not going to be because of their offense. It will be the defense. And so give their defense credit. That was a really great defensive performance. Many times you pitch a shutout. But that was equal parts Oregon being really, really good on defense and Texas Tech being really, really bad on offense. And if you had done a little digging into Texas Tech, we tried to tell you, this is not a good offense. The numbers that they were throwing up were largely inflated, one, by weak competition, and two, by their defense giving them short fields and turnovers. But if you actually watch Texas Tech play, this was by no means an offense that was going to scare you. But not only is it an average offense, but it also faced the best defense they were going to play, and it was the worst outing that Morton and really that entire offense had put up all year. The layoff, you throw that in there, and it was just a recipe for disaster. Texas Tech did nothing. I mean, nothing.
So all the layoff teams?
1-7.
Yeah. Last 2 years, you mean?
Yeah. So
Except for Indiana.
Which
they look great.
I love the fact that Cignetti and the Indiana Hoosiers are the one team to give that the middle finger. So, like, I've always said, just be careful about making sweeping judgments on small sample size. But after 1-7 and seeing some of the favorites, Ohio State looking beyond flat, Georgia looking flat, last year Oregon looking flat, look, I think there's obviously something, whether we want to acknowledge it, in the back of our mind or not, that's obviously a thing. And I'm willing to wager right now that next year this won't be the case. They will change this.
What do you mean? Like move it up?
There will not be the four buys. There will be a new format next year. They're not going to roll into this anymore. Your reward for finishing as one of the top four teams is not going to be a month
off. So you're saying a 16-team field probably.
16 field or something will change.
Well, not six. 16.
Did I say six?
You did.
I'm sorry.
They're not going to decrease the field.
Something will happen. I don't know about the home field stuff because the attendance was bad, but the numbers were great on TV, but the format is going to change. They will 1-7, 2 years in a row, and the favorites being knocked out and looking very flat.
Yeah, they look terrible.
This will not be a thing next
except
year.
For Indiana. So how do you explain Indiana?
Well, and that's why I just said, I love the fact that the one team to take that and shove it where the sun don't shine is Kurt Cignetti. And I'm not going to be ashamed of this. I know we're the home of the Ducks. I love Indiana. I absolutely love everything that Indiana's doing. I think it's the best thing to happen in college football in years. I love that red-ass Cignetti and his weird Johnny Unitas haircut. I love his mannerisms. I think that team is incredible. And I know you have to root for Oregon. We're the home of the Ducks and all that.
Well, I don't have to root for anybody.
But, dude, if Indiana...
But I ain't rooting for the Hoosiers.
If Indiana wins this whole thing, that will be the greatest story in college football history.
Yeah, I think that's safe to say. I mean, like, what would that even...
There's not another. There just isn't. There's not another one that...
Like, give me the... What is currently the greatest story in college football in terms of a one season?
Well, I mean, we just... The sport has never lent itself to Cinderella's because, one, the system didn't allow it, right? You never got a true playoff. And unlike other sports, you can't really scheme around a lack of talent. It just, it ends up, it's the best athletes. So there just isn't anything like this. If you wanted to say like Georgia Tech back in the day, getting a split of a national title or Colorado or something.
Hey, wasn't that your year? Was that BYU?
No, BYU was 84.
Who Georgia Tech split with?
Georgia Tech split with, in fact, I think they may have split with Colorado. I think that might have been the year they split with Colorado.
Well, Indiana's got talent, though.
Yeah, but when you look at the talent profile, they do not. Like, it is
well,
not...
sure they do.
No,
I know what you're saying. Yes. You're saying it's not as high as most champions, but that doesn't mean they don't have talent. I mean, no. It's not like they're... Look, they're not like... No, I'm trying to think of a team. It's not BYU.
No, no.
And no offense.
Yeah. But when you look at Indiana, when you look at, again, from a talent profile, when you look at composite rankings, they shouldn't be here. This is the greatest outlier.
And they're kicking everyone's ass, too. Yeah, well, they didn't kick Ohio State's ass, but...
They beat them.
Yeah, and I just feel like...
And they beat Oregon at Oregon, and they
took Bama...
They're
clearly the best team.
Yes.
They are clearly the best team.
Yes.
That's what's wild about it. It's not that you've got a team that maybe isn't quite talent-wise where the other teams are. It's not that.
Yeah.
It's just... Well, one, it's part of it is that it's Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when's the last time they were any good at anything?
They're not.
Well, not
basketball.
Basketball. But I just mean, in football, when's the last time they were any good?
They've never been.
So it's that. It's like they're just a kind of a joke of a football school. That's mm-hmm. part of it.
Yeah.
But it's also how they're beat. Like, they dominated Alabama.
Yeah.
They came into Autzen and just, and that, you know, I know it was a close game. It was 30 to 20.
They beat them at all three phases.
But, dude, they handled Oregon.
Yes.
I mean, it's.
Yeah. I in my own eyes, I do not, I just. I don't want to believe what I'm seeing with Indiana. I didn't believe them last year. I didn't believe them this year. And I hate to say this. I think Oregon will beat them. And yet that's like what my brain is telling me, but I'm not going to say it because Indiana keeps proving me wrong. Every time I doubt that team, they find a way. I thought they were going to get bullied when they got to Autzen. They did not. In fact, they were the bullies. I thought Ohio State was going to overwhelm them with talent. That didn't happen. And then I went with Ohio State probably didn't really care. And, you know, we'll see what happens. And then the layoff thing. And I'm like, man, that layoff has been huge for everybody. And here comes a Bama team that got a little healthy. No, they just came
not
right
even
out.
Close.
They came out right from the get-go and buried them. And so at this point, dude, doubt Indiana at your own peril.
Totally. Well, what changed, though? And not to spend too much time on the Hoosiers here.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we've got other things to talk about. But what changed from... Because last year, they did get out talented.
Yes.
In other words, Ohio State just showed they had better talent.
Yeah.
Notre Dame beat them, didn't they?
Yes. Physically just beat them up.
So what changed?
I do think that this team is better than the one before. I think they went into the portal again. And I think Mendoza obviously has been an upgrade there. And I think another year in this system and another year of just adding the right pieces... coming into this, I think they are a better team than they were last year. And not only are they a better team, but like they're not getting pushed around. Like it's not a big defensive line. And yet the way they play and the scheme in which they play, they just give people fits. And
what team matches up best with them that's left in the tournament?
I mean,
because you're saying they're clearly the best team. Is there a team that can actually knock them off?
Well, I think Oregon and Miami can. I mean, anyone.
Well, I think any of the three teams.
Any of the three. Like, there's no team left that if you told me they won a national title, with the exception of Ole Miss, and that's mainly just because of the coaching situation. But there is no more.
Miami can beat Indiana.
Miami can beat Indiana. Oregon can beat Indiana. They can, because I think those teams are just more talented. But when I look at what Indiana does, Indiana is the best definition of this is what we do. We don't beat ourselves. We don't make any mistakes. And we are going to play with our hair on fire. And they play to a specific skill set and a system better than anyone in the country.
The wild card, Cignetti. Like, he's the best coach.
Yes.
Like, yeah, he is the best.
Like, yes. I can't trust Cristobal.
No.
Oh, God, no.
No.
Right.
Oh,
and so, my God. So, like, if you're telling me it's Cignetti versus Miami in the title game, I'm going Indiana all day.
Don't you think it favors... Yes, I would, too. I would never trust Mario Cristobal to win it, to finish this off. They looked good. You got to give him credit. He's done a great job this year. But, come on, the Mario Cristobal effect is real.
Yeah.
And so we're just waiting for it to rear its ugly head.
Yeah.
But Indiana, Oregon, I think it I think it helps Oregon that they've already seen it once.
I think it's a huge advantage.
That's a big deal.
Which is why I said going into this, I think Oregon got a really good draw in that I thought the two best teams in the tournament were on the other side of the bracket. By the way, both of those are gone. Those would be the two teams that scared me. You got a knock the rust off game against James Madison, which offered you no resistance at all. You got a Texas Tech game that I didn't think their offense was going to be able to do anything to threaten you. That turned out to be true. And now you get Indiana. And one thing's about Indiana is their defensive scheme is very complex. The way they play their three safeties, the way they rotate coverage, they give you a lot of different looks, much like they do in the NFL, and it confuses a lot of people. And if you watch, I think they sacked Dante Moore five times. Most of those were covered sacks or confusion sacks. And I think they put him in a blender. I think they put Ty Simpson in a blender. They put Julian Sain in a blender. I think having another go-round, it's like if you face Paul Skeens or one of these guys that throws high 90s and then has a nasty breaking ball. If you've never seen it before, it's a knee buckler. But the second, third time around, you're like, okay, I've adjusted to this. So I think it is actually a really big advantage for Oregon to see Indiana a second time and be like, okay, this is what they did to us. Yeah. They're not going to do it again. We are going to take away what Indiana does well. And that was a really close game. So can Indiana beat Oregon? Yes. They proved that they can go into Autzen and beat them. But I think this is going to be the bigger advantage in this game from having played before is not the confidence of Indiana knowing it can beat Oregon. It's going to be Oregon seeing the schemes of Indiana's defense for a second time through the lineup.
All right. Well, we'll have all week next week. Well, 4 days anyway, to talk about Indiana and Oregon.
Yeah.
Okay. We're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yeah.
We're just so excited.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's
what a great matchup.
And this is awesome. This is everything you want.
It is awesome.
The chance for Oregon to right the one wrong they've had this year. And if you do this, you get a chance to play for a national title. I mean, can you imagine Mario and Lanning, Miami and Oregon? I mean, my God, that's like dream scenario, though.
Well, don't forget about the Ole Miss story.
Yeah, yeah, dude.
That's a great story.
It is, but
I'd like to see them win without.
I'm terrified of Lane pulling coaches.
Wait, what?
You haven't seen this?
Well, hold on. Hold on. Yeah. Slow down. We're going to wrap up the weekend, it wasn't a weekend, but the quarterfinals coming up next, okay?
Yeah.
Calm down. Sit. You sit.
I got it.
Okay, I think we're going to Steven with a V. Sven.
Little Stevie.
It's definitely not a PH, I can tell you that.
Yeah, somebody was at RJ was asking.
I'm actually offended when people say Steven with a PH.
Why?
That's Stefan.
Oh, Stefan, yeah.
Yeah, it's not Steven.
Look, you can't be from Milwaukee and be a Steven with a PH.
Well, yeah, look, if you're with a PH and they call you Steve, how are they spelling it? Tell me that.
It's a valid point.
Great point.
Thank you. Yeah.
Stefan's not from Milwaukee, all right? Stefan's from West Lynn. Steven's right. From Milwaukee.
Stefan's got money. Steven doesn't.
Here's Steven, sports. All right, welcome back to our show. You can join the conversation. That's what they say on the fan touch line at 503-864-6326. Oregon, I don't even want to call it uneven. They dominated Texas Tech.
Yes.
Wasn't uneven, but it was a little... You know, there were some opportunities left out there.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, they were playing I thought that was the best front in college football. It wasn't the best secondary, but that was the best front. It was the best tackling team, best pursuing team. And I'm honestly amazed that Texas Tech's defense was able to hold up the way they were. I thought with as little as their offense was giving them, that eventually they would kind of run out of steam.
No, they're just a bunch of dudes.
And they just were great. And then, yes, Oregon.
But you had some fourth downs, you didn't convert. Yeah. And some,
you had one seam ball down the middle that if he rips that one, and there's a whole shot
Sadiq?
There. Yeah, Sadiq.
Yeah, now, totally. How does he miss that?
Well, because he had a guy coming in his, right in his face and was
But isn't
ready.
That the first read on that play?
Yeah.
You
would think that. No, but when you go back and watch that, so they gave you a safety in the middle of the field look. And so I think and again, I'm not in the film session, so when you see that, if there's a safety in the middle of the field, you can't throw that. You can't throw that.
Yeah, so he probably saw the safety and went, oh, crap, I can't throw it.
Yes.
Even though if he goes over the
top. If he goes over the top. So if you look, and this is where I think sometimes I laugh a little bit when people, you know, do the – people show a highlight of something, and they're like, oh, look where he's open. So he takes a snap, goes back. And if that's his first reading, again, I don't know where his, you know, where, what the progression is, but he sees Sadiq going up the seam and then he's running that little post in the middle. There is a single high safety sitting right in the middle of that. That usually is an indicator you're not going to throw that football. The problem is, I don't know what the safety did, but he just kind of froze. He stopped. And I don't know if he was looking at something underneath, but Sadiq ended up getting over the top. But by the time that happened in Dante Moore's head, that's probably, oh crap, I've moved on to something else. Or, hey, I'm bleeding, I've been hit a bunch, and now I've got this guy bearing down on me, and it's probably a little too late. But yeah, that is hindsight. When you look back at that, you're going to be like, oh, I should have ripped that ball. Just like Baron Morton had too, where he's going to watch the film and be like, I can't believe I threw that. Yeah. So it's easier said than done. So yeah, there was some stuff left out there, but I give Texas Tech a lot of credit. That is the best defense that Oregon saw. And while Oregon moved the ball a little bit at times, like everyone else that Texas Tech played, you really couldn't get anything sustained on.
So you said this before, I don't want to float your boat too much, but you said Baron Morton sucks. Are we going to give the Ducks defense all the credit for that? Or is that a Texas Tech problem?
It's equal parts.
He does suck.
He's not good.
Oregon's defense played great.
I tried to tell the
thing about Baron Morton was they were really explosive this year.
Yes.
Like they were terrible in the red zone.
Yes.
But they would hit explosives. And a lot of that was just due, I mean, they're playing in the Big 12.
Yeah.
You know, they're not playing defenses like Oregon every week.
Nope.
So of all the quarterbacks in the quarterfinals, mm-hmm. one of these things is not like the other, yeah. and it was Baron Morton.
Yeah.
And so you knew, or that's why I thought this would be just a dogfight,
yeah.
because Oregon's defense, I mean, everybody's talking about Texas Tech's defense, and rightly so, but yeah. Oregon's defense wasn't getting any love. And
no.
it's like, dude, they are going to own that Texas Tech offense.
Well, I think I said it was going to be something like, I thought it was like 17-10, maybe 21-13, something like that. I thought that Texas Tech would eventually get something. No, they didn't. Anytime they threatened,
I do think Oregon's defense played great.
Oregon's defense played really
good. They're underrated.
Yes, and I think their receivers had a really hard time getting any sort of separation. Morton played a really bad game. I also thought Texas Tech's game plan in general was kind of wonky. I mean, they really have built their entire offense basically on throwing go balls.
Yeah.
And they really didn't take any shots. And the one that they did, finally they hit the one that got him down into the red zone where the interception was. But I just thought they outthought the room and really went away from what they were doing. And again, four turnovers, you know, it was a suffocating effort. So it was the best defense they've played. Their offense was largely overrated by playing poor defenses and getting extra possessions in short fields due to their defense. And their defense didn't do that. The one turnover Oregon did have was essentially a punt. It was on fourth down, and they actually lost yardage intercepting the ball. And Oregon never really gave them an inch to breathe, and never the one time that they threatened, Morton threw a pick in the end zone on a ball that under no circumstances should you throw.
Yeah, I guess looking deeper, though, that, like somebody texted and said the score should have been 5,000-0. It really felt like that.
Yeah.
Especially at halftime. It's like, whoa, dude, they're letting them hang around.
The fact that it was 6-0, that's yes. the only time I was scared.
A lot of times the bye team wakes up in the second half.
Yep.
And you let a team hang around like that. They, you know, they adjust, they figure something out. Texas Tech did not have that
in
them.
This isn't new from Lanning, though, guys.
No, I mean, it isn't. No, I agree.
He's going to go for it on fourth down.
Well, that's what I was about to ask is, I feel like, okay, so you put Texas Tech to bed. You were the better team. You were the more complete team, and you proved it.
Yeah.
There is nothing to criticize about that game, okay? They did go 4 of 19 on third down. But I just mean, look, they dominated the game. They won the game. Okay.
Yeah.
But moving forward, you got to worry a little bit about their offense, don't you?
Yes.
Particularly playing Indiana, who's the best defense in the country. And then, whether it be Miami or Ole Miss, probably Miami. I think Miami's going to be in the final.
I would rather see Ole Miss than I would Miami.
Yeah. Miami's defense is nasty.
Yes.
The only problem with Miami is Cristobal.
Yeah.
And he's not really a problem until he is.
No.
So he's not always a problem, but he can be.
I think at this point,
Right? But Oregon's offense. Let's talk about Oregon's offense. I want to talk about Oregon's offense.
Yeah. And this is where I'll you know, people can call me a hater and all that. It's not hating. At this point, we have a large sample size.
Yes.
Right?
Large enough.
It's large enough.
It's very uneven.
Yes. It is an uneven offense that has a lot of talent that doesn't all quite gel together. I would say that the the sum of their parts is not greater than the individuals. And a lot of that is, I think there's a lot of youth, right? And the other part is, and I've been trying to tell people that will listen and everyone gets mad at me, their O-line is not great. It's just not. It's a good O-line. Isaiah World and Harkey are their two tackles, and they're fine. They're not elite. And they show you that again. Inside, I really love Pregnon and Poncho. They're both really good players. Against smaller people that can get across their face, there's a problem. And what did Indiana do? What did Texas Tech do? They got across their face. I think some of the bad snaps that Poncho had was he was worried about having to move in front of a fast, quick, stunting defensive line. And then their right guard isn't very good. So you can mush up Oregon's run game. And when you mush up Oregon's run game and then it goes into a pure drop back pass, yes, Dante Moore is really good. And there's some talent on the outside, but nothing they do in the passing game terrifies you. It's not a super explosive passing game. And if you can tackle and play in space, and Texas Tech can, Indiana can, and they don't give up big plays, they can force Oregon to go like anyone else does, 15 plays. And there's the idea of we can stall you out. And we've seen teams do this where Oregon moves the ball and then they stall out on fourth down, or they have a holding penalty, or they get a sack and it sets themselves back, which is why I said this is a good offense. Is it a championship offense? I don't think it is. But I think the way their defense plays, I think this offense can be good enough. But if they win a national championship, it will be led by the defense and the offense will be good enough. And I think it is. But yes, that is right now. That is a weak link, because when you look at the better teams that they've played, right? If we're going to go Washington, we're going to go Iowa, we're going to go Indiana, we're going to go Penn State, and we're going to say Texas Tech. Through large portions of each one of those games for 3+ quarters, the offense kind of spun its tires. Well, and that's fact.
But we're on the home of the Ducks.
Yes.
Everybody knows that, but we're not homers here. You guys know that about us. And I will say, I don't think it is championship caliber. I don't think Oregon is going to win the championship. And the reason I don't think they're going to win the championship is because of their offense. Dude, you're now getting into, Texas Tech was an elite defensive front.
Yes.
And they did all right. They did all right. Mm-hmm. But you're going to have to be better against Indiana.
Yes.
Because Indiana also has an offense to come with that defense.
If they play, if their offense plays the way they did against Texas Tech, they will lose that game.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's their offense, though. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't have a good feeling about the Indiana game because of their offense. Oregon's offense is too uneven, it seems. We talked about this while you were gone, too, but it's like, you get to this point in the season, there's enough sample size that this is who they are.
Yes.
It's not going to change.
No, like, it's not magically going to wait.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are like, oh, well, next week their offense needs to be a lot better. It's not going to be a lot better, because you're going against just as tough of a defense, and this is what Oregon's offense is. I think I like Dante Moore a lot. Mm-hmm. He's really good, and you can tell he's really well coached, but he needs more experience. I mean, we forget, Dante Moore only has, I think we talked about it on the show a couple weeks ago.
It's 4 or 5 at UCLA, and then however
13,
many.
14 starts?
Well, at Oregon now, he's got, what?
Well, no, it's more than that. Okay, so it's like 15, 16.
Yeah, because he had 4 or 5 at UCLA before he was benched, and then this year
so at Oregon. So just for comparison, Dylan Gabriel had 60-some starts.
Yes.
Bo Nix had 60-some starts.
Yes.
That is a big... Dante Moore, with 50 starts under his belt, is a different Dante Moore than this Dante Moore.
100%.
And that's why I like him. I think he's really good, but I don't see him taking them all the way. And that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. First of all, I could be completely wrong.
Yeah.
Because they are very talented. But it just does not seem like a championship offense.
I thought
that Indiana has both.
Yes.
Miami has an interesting well, they're interesting because their offense is kind of like Oregon's.
Yeah.
They can run the ball.
Yeah.
But Beck's a little uneven, but he's a lot more experienced than Moore, right?
Yeah.
But then you don't have Dan Lanning over there. You have Cristobal, who will cowardly punt his way to getting beat. But then you have Ole Miss, who's like, this is a great Final Four.
Yeah.
Indiana's complete. We know what they are. it's going to take a hell of an effort to beat them.
And Ole Miss's defense is not very good, and they have all the coaching stuff.
But Chambliss is great.
He is.
That guy's awesome. And no Lane Kiffin, and then their defensive coordinator takes over. Yeah. It'd be great to see them in the final without Lane Kiffin and, like, shove it up. Like, we don't need Lane Kiffin. Just turn it over to this guy. But it's just it's a cool Final Four because I feel like Miami, Oregon, and Ole Miss are all kind of in the same same pool. And Indiana is not. Indiana is going to need to be upset. No, you know, turnovers,
but the fun,
a bad game.
But the fun thing about Indiana is, because like, you mentioned we got an Achilles heel for all of these teams. And the only weird one, the Achilles heel for Indiana is they don't fit the profile. No one has ever won a national title with the talent level of Indiana. And so we've seen teams get to this point or close to it, right? Whether that was TCU that made their run and they got drilled, or Washington when they got to play Michigan. We've seen teams that are on paper not as talented. And then when push comes to shove, they get overwhelmed. And so I think that's what you look at for Indiana, and you're like, this just doesn't happen. And so,
but they're not going to get overwhelmed.
I don't think so.
Who's going to overwhelm them?
I don't know.
They just ran through Alabama and Ohio State, dude. You think Oregon and Miami are going to overwhelm them?
It's so
weird. Already beaten Oregon.
It's just we haven't seen it. So, but that's what I'm saying is, like, their only Achilles heel is the historic trend going against them.
The 140 years of college football. That's what they have against them.
But what is different is that the system has changed to allow a school like Indiana to compete.
Yeah.
This is a different era.
Yeah.
It's the NIL era.
Cignetti is the
coach.
Well, they got the coach. You got the right coach. But you also now have, when you hire the right coach, he is not behind the eight ball.
Yeah.
You do this right, get the right transfers, get the right fits, you can win. Like, it's not, you would not have been able to do that 25 years ago.
No, you can't.
Now in this system, you can. Yeah, and Indiana is showing that they are. Like, that is what this is. And they are capable of winning a title, obviously.
Look, I'll tell you
and
what.
If they do, it might change the paradigm for a lot of schools.
It might.
Who are trying to keep up but haven't, you know, caught their, found their footing yet.
I'll tell you that. I don't care. Whether it's Oregon or Indiana. The only one I don't want to see, to be honest with you, is Miami. Just, I can't handle Michael Irvin. Plus, he's going to die of a heart attack.
Dude, how much testosterone is running through that man's body?
Well, that and cocaine.
I thought you said cocaine, not testosterone.
Well, both.
So
what a combo.
I know. He is just...
I'd like to see the cocaine testosterone.
Did you see his abs, though?
Yeah.
How old is he?
That's the testosterone. He's like 60. That's the testosterone. Jeez. And you stay lean with... You can't have a weight problem and a cocaine problem.
Would you like to see that Venn diagram?
Yeah, what is it? The F around... Or the crazy hot matrix? Yeah. I need to see the testosterone and the cocaine.
God.
He may spontaneously explode.
I think that'd be great. That'd be the best part of Miami winning a title is Michael Irvin just blows up on the sideline.
Hugs him and he just explodes.
Yeah.
Just down he goes. So I don't want to live in a world where Miami wins one, but Ole Miss doing it would be fun, and Indiana and Oregon would both be fun. I just love that we have some new blood.
Yeah, all four are great stories.
And every one of them is a great story.
Do you know the most recent champion alive is Miami?
Miami.
Yeah, which is crazy.
Well, it's weird because Miami is a traditional... I mean, at one point, Miami was the best program in the country, and then they went on a 25-year hiatus, and then it's like, we're back, bitches, with Mario Cristobal? Come on. And by the way, they damn near didn't get into the whole thing.
I know.
And yet, here they are.
Hey, guess who has a pretty hefty future ticket on Miami?
Dude.
Placed in July.
Oh.
When they got Carson Beck, I was like, that's interesting.
Well, for a couple weeks. And this is the other cool thing about the system that I love.
So I'll be rooting. I just want to tell you. I have to root for my wallet.
Yeah.
My pocketbook.
I just love that much like the NFL
because there's
now,
nothing in it.
Yeah. Christmas.
And I need something in it.
I understand. I just love that the system now allows for a team to go through kind of the ups and downs of a season and be playing your best ball at the end and still get to win a national title.
That's
right. We saw it with Ohio State. I hate this crappy thing where you have to be perfect all year. I love that you can have some warts and still have an opportunity to do it. And that would be Miami if they get a chance to do it, because they certainly had their warts and we wrote them off and here they are.
All right. One last thing. We got a comment on Will Stein. That's an interesting one that a lot of Duck fans are talking about. We'll do that next to wrap up the hour here on The Fan.
Do you want him to give it to you?
No, I want you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bro. Okay, last bit on Oregon here before we turn the page. Will Stein, a lot of people are talking about the Will Stein effect. One is, and God, these things are so hard to quantify. But all these teams are going through this. It seems like every team is going through this. Maybe not Indiana, but a coordinator is gone.
Yeah.
Or even in the case of Ole Miss, their head coach is gone.
And six potential other coaches. They don't even know whether or not they'll be there. Like, most of those coaches didn't go back to Ole Miss. They're in Baton Rouge right now.
Yeah. I guess so, Miami hasn't lost anybody, have they?
I don't think Miami's lost anyone. Indiana hasn't lost anyone.
I'll tell you what, that defensive coordinator, this is a completely unrelated. That defensive coordinator for Miami is the best coach in this tournament that no one talks about.
Yeah, no one gives him any sort of love.
He's awesome. Yeah. That defense is awesome. Anyway, well, he's got some studs too, don't get me wrong. But with Will Stein, I think there's two lines of thought, schools of thought. One is, how much is he focused on Kentucky? Mm-hmm. And so, how do you quantify that? I don't know. It's just that I feel like... You really can't. But so is LaPoy.
Exactly, and LaPoy
had a great game. So
well, and they're again. I just think that's recency bias. This has been, for better or worse, this is their offense, and it has been all year. And by the way, it's a top 10 scoring offense in the country.
Yeah, some of the most. I think they're number two in explosives.
Yeah,
behind Texas Tech.
Yeah, it's a good offense.
No explosives.
It just, against the better teams, they go through periods, and I don't know how to quantify that, and I'm guessing Oregon doesn't either. Well, otherwise, they would have fixed them.
I think some of it is, and you could hear a little bit of this chatter throughout the season, that as good as Will Stein was, I think he has a tough, he was in a tough spot because he was following Kenny Dillingham, who I thought was better. Believe it or not. As an offensive coordinator, I thought Dillingham was better.
But what offensive coordinator has Duck fans liked?
No, that's
has
right.
there ever been
There's
one?
There's always, and when you lose a game, especially at Autzen, you got to point the finger at somebody.
It's not the head
Dan
coach.
Lanning's a hero, so it's Will Stein. And I thought Will Stein, again, there were a couple fourth downs in the Texas Tech game where the play call, it was like, what are you trying? Yeah. Like, the one was, they did the Wildcat.
Yeah.
Well, do you blame Stein or Lanning for that?
Well,
isn't
blame
it
Stein.
Lanning's decision to go for it?
Well, go for it.
No, go for it. I'm fine. I'm talking about
Stein.
The play calls.
Okay.
Yeah. And I would blame Stein, the play caller.
Right. Yeah.
But again, that's nitpicking. They won the game 23-0.
Yeah.
I just think Will Stein is an interesting one because their offense has been a little uneven. He does have one foot out the door. And so you wonder, what is the Will Stein effect on the Oregon offense?
Yeah, I don't know.
And it's hard to...
But a lot of times, like, when they get stuffed, like, on a Jordan Davidson run. So the first time, I'm going through, like, where they turned it over on downs. Like, the first one was, it was fourth and one at the Texas Tech 23. And they ran the ball. And there's nothing you can do. Like, you gave it to your 230-pound short yardage bowling ball, and your offensive line got blown up. Like, that's not Will Stein. That's just... Like you didn't execute.
Well, but I think what I'm saying is when you do those more exotic looks on fourth and two, you're kind of overthinking it or you're overreacting to Texas Tech's defensive line or what has happened previously. Yeah. Look, it's 2 yards.
Yeah.
Run the dance. Like, just shove it down the throat. Like, you have a good offensive line. Trust your guys to execute. Like you said, it's about execution.
Yeah.
And sometimes, especially that second one. They rolled more out.
They rolled more out.
That was, it's like, just run the damn ball.
Problem is that you tried running the ball the first fourth down and you got it shoved up your keister.
Well, that was the Wildcat though, but that was.
No, I don't think the first one was.
That was the first fourth down near the goal line.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean.
There were multiple. They actually ended up going four of eight on fourth down.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know. There is, the Will Stein thing is interesting because you just. You want a little more.
Yeah. Well, there was like one where they kept trying to throw the sideline stuff. And I was like, oh my God. I'm like, Texas Tech is going to pick one of these off.
Yeah. They were all over that.
They just keep going downhill. And I don't, again, I'm always careful to be overly critical of play calls because I'm not in the huddle. I don't know what they're comfortable with. I don't know what in practice they see every day. And so I just think it's really easy to nitpick coordinators when we're sitting there being like, oh, well, why don't you do this? It's what's the James Franklin clip where the guy's like, have you considered just throwing the ball deep to try to loosen someone up? You know, but I did have that thought. I was sitting there and being like, God, if they don't throw one to make someone respect
strong
No.
Their downfield passing game, I'm like, one of these passes is getting picked off. One of these little bubble screens is going to get taken back the other way because Texas Tech was jumping on stuff. But then when they would attempt that, they couldn't hold up in pass protection. And they tried to go tempo, even though they're not really a tempo team, but they tried to go tempo because lining up and just running against that front wasn't working. And I'm telling you, it's kind of maddening when their run game, and I think this is where the Stein thing, I'd be interested in sitting down with him and actually discussing their run game. But when their run game gets bottled up, everything kind of goes to hell. When you look at where their offense has been ground down, it's when the run game really stops. And when they don't have the threat of the run game, and that's, I guess that's true across most offenses, but when they kind of become one dimensional and Oregon has to get in obvious passing situations, it's weird because you would think with Dante Moore, that would be a strong suit, but that's when their limitations, I think, really start to show up and their run game got taken away from them. And once that happened, you're like, buckle up. This can be a long day. It was the same thing against Indiana. I think they ran 2.7 yards per carry. And that's just that's the nature of the beast. And I don't know enough. I haven't done enough film study or digging in and talking to coaches to find out what that is. But even with their quarterback, everything is predicated on them being able to run the ball.
Yeah. Well, Stein going to Kentucky, it's like, all right. He was good. One of the top offensive coordinators in the country. But I think a lot of Duck fans are like, okay, ready for the next guy.
Didn't it seem pretty vanilla, though? Because it seemed to me that they knew Texas Tech wasn't going to score. Like, they couldn't move the ball.
Yes.
So if you're going to throw the ball downfield, you're risking just turning it over. Like, you might as well just go three and out and punt.
Not shock me one bit that if two quarters into that game, they all got together and said nothing dumb.
Well, they did. They did kind of change when he took the second 3 points.
Yep.
That's when it was like, okay, because yeah. I think that was fourth and two again.
Right, because that's the weird part. They were aggressive going for fourth down.
Yeah, I think that's where
but they flipped it.
To Suk's point, I think that's right. We all thought that, right?
Like they are.
Right at that point of the game, it's like, just take the points.
Take the points, nothing done.
Lanning even figured that out. As aggressive as he is, he's like, dude, we're just going to put three on the board.
He said it at halftime. Said at halftime, yeah, run off. He said, I just need to take the points.
Yeah, I missed the halftime interview. But at that point, it should have been 13-0 anyway.
Yes.
Or whatever.
And it should have been, the ball game.
Yeah, but anyway, they handled it. I just think their offense. I want to talk more about Dante Moore. Mm-hmm. We'll have to do that later in the show. We have Joey Harrington coming on, by the way, at 5:30.
Yeah.
But quick synopsis. Do you think he won't come back because he's going to be a top five pick?
I think he's gone.
I think he's gone too, but yeah. I'm just saying, don't you think he kind of needs to come back?
I think it would behoove him to come back, but I'm not turning down $58 million guaranteed dollars.
Well, yeah.
Again, $58
million. Of course. I mean, he's going to go.
Yes.
But he needs to
come back. It would behoove him to come back. Absolutely.
All right. We'll get to that with Joey Harrington later. He'll be joining us at 5:30. Up next, things you may have missed on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.